Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John, engineering and producing our program. We are off and running on the first full week of November. It's Monday, November the 6th, 2023. We are in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. They have the naming rights to our studio, and I'm very glad they do. We love Green Things, and of course, we are on the campus of Bustos Media Tucson, the growing Bustos Media empire. We've got five radio stations now here under one roof. The latest station to join us is The Drive, very popular station. But our station is 1030 KVOI, The Voice, where we have some very good local news and talk for you. When we do our live line, our telephone interviews, that is presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. At the beginning of the year, I made a decision, and I ran into somebody actually up at Mona's, and we'll talk about my lunch yesterday at Mona's, said, "You're Bill Buckmaster." I said, "Yes, yes. I love the show, and I am so glad, Bill, that you jettisoned your Monday political face off," which we did for 12 years here. That's the way we started our Monday, but, you know, it got to the point I didn't want everybody start my week with people going back and forth fighting. So we started what we call the Monday One-on-One. It's been very popular, presented by our friends at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors. We've got two of them in our home, beautiful mirrors. Moe's a great photographer. They sell his work in the gallery. And, of course, where they really excel, picture framing. And then if you don't want to put the work up on the wall yourself, you don't want to go up on the ladder, Mo makes house calls. Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at mosgallery.com. Our Monday One-on-One today at my friend Felipe Garcia is here. Felipe, how are you?
I'm doing great.
So you get it then when I'm saying I didn't want to start. We've got enough political infighting these days.
Absolutely. And Monday's a Monday, so you want to have
Monday's
something
a Monday.
Better.
I want to learn some things, you know.
Absolutely.
That's why I've done this One-on-One series, and I think we're off to a really good start. Felipe Garcia is president and CEO of Visit Tucson. That is the region's destination marketing organization. And during his tenure at Visit Tucson, Mr. Garcia has led Tucson's Mexico marketing efforts. He's also vice president of Delice Network, which includes some of the world's top cities. This is kind of a food network, originated, I believe, Felipe, in Lyon, France, right?
That is correct.
Then expanded to Barcelona. It's in Hong Kong, Buenos Aires. And it really collaborates on developing programs and strategies to use food and gastronomy as a tourism and economic development platform. And his role with Delice sort of fits very well with Felipe Garcia's leveraging of Tucson's destination 7 years ago as America's first United Nations city of gastronomy, so which is doing very well. Felipe Garcia, a pleasure to welcome you back to the show.
Bill, it's always great to see you, especially on a Monday, and start my week in a high note, for
there
sure.
There you go. We're off and running. Delice, what's the Tucson connection to it?
So it all happened because of a meeting we were hosting, and we were able to have a conversation with a friend from Puebla, Mexico. And this individual said, "Felipe, everything that you guys are doing in Tucson, it's phenomenal. And there's a network of cities around the world called the Delice Network, Delice Network from Lyon, France, and Tucson should be a perfect member of this organization." So we had to apply. We have to actually go and apply, and then the members vote if they want you in the network or not. And I was very happily surprised that, yes, they wanted us to be a member. And we're, again, at the table with some phenomenal cities, as you mentioned, around the world, like Barcelona, like Madrid, like Cali in Colombia, Puebla.
Cali is one of the
cities? Cali, yes, in Colombia, Montreal in Canada. Mm-hmm. And
Montreal's a big food city.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And what has been great, Buck, is that when we started talking and meeting with these individuals and sharing best practices and learning, you have this conception that are we at the par to these great food cities? And we notice that we are, and that we're actually contributing to the conversation, and they're interested in what we're doing in Tucson. So it also made us proud that we're not just there to learn, we're there to share as well our experiences in food gastronomy here in Tucson.
Well, the entree, if you will, would have been the city of gastronomy, correct?
Absolutely.
I mean, they wouldn't have Tucson probably wouldn't have been on the radar of these cities if it had not been for that.
Absolutely, you're correct.
Yeah.
That was the exposure and the validation we had. And I mentioned to people, I remember that day, I think it was a Thursday night, mm-hmm. when we got that designation or we made the announcement. It was not a recipe or a franchise that you turnkey the following day.
That was not a turnkey deal. I mean, we had Janos on the show last mm-hmm. Monday in our one-on-one, and he was talking about the history of that. And it required, yes, you have been given this destination. Now the real work begins.
Absolutely. And actually, right now, we're in the second time that we have to do a report back to UNESCO. Because we have to actually go back to UNESCO every 4 years and present a report of what have we done with the mm-hmm. designation. And they have to review. There's a committee that is formed, and they review our designation. We don't want to be the first city to lose the designation because they're not doing anything
with
it.
So it's like a redesignation.
Every 4 years, we have to go back, and we have to submit a report to UNESCO that is, again, going to be reviewed by a peer panel group, and they're going to give recommendations of what we're doing right and what we're doing wrong.
Well, I think that report, from what Janos was telling me, will obviously reflect the fact that we now have dozens of restaurants in Tucson who have been given a kind of city of gastronomy stamp of approval, if you will.
Absolutely. So that's a great program that we launched locally, and many cities around the world are looking. I have here my badge from my work. And I have this lanyard with some of the 2030 agenda of UNESCO. So these are the sustainability goals from UNESCO that we base our designation. So what UNESCO wants to know, what are you doing with this? Exactly.
Yeah.
And working with this restaurant certification program and food artisans has to do with what our local restaurants and food artisans doing with this designation mm-hmm. and with these goals. So we're very happy what we have achieved here in Tucson.
So, and for those that don't know, UNESCO is an acronym. It's basically the cultural arm, one of the cultural arms of the United Nations. Okay, let's talk about travel spending. These numbers look very impressive, Felipe Garcia, for Tucson, coming back from the pandemic year.
We've been blessed about our community, and as you mentioned, we had a great recovery from the pandemic, and Tucson was, for the first time ever, one of the cities that recovered the fastest, that it had never happened before. We were always trailing in recovery, and usually, of course, had been economic downturns or recession. This is the first time that in an economic downturn that was joined by COVID and those years, that Tucson actually recovered first. And in strength, the numbers, we had record numbers for several months. Things are starting to flat out. I mean, we cannot sustain that double-digit growth forever, but still we're in a very good position.
Your double-digit growth was basically, let me give our listeners a hint of what we're talking about. This is a lot of spending. Record-breaking levels in 2022 at $2.75 billion. That's a 15.7% increase over 2021. And what is your take on what could be driving this economic growth and stability?
So first, there were different factors. Number one, and we had talked about it before, Bill, is that Tucson was not quiet during the pandemic. We kept our marketing out there. Very subtle, but we kept in people's minds.
Some cities backed away.
Completely.
They dropped their budget completely.
Completely.
Yeah.
And we've seen those cases. When you stop marketing and promoting, you're going to struggle. Colorado did it years ago, mm-hmm. decided to actually shut down their tourism initiatives, and their tourism came double digits in the next 2 years. They had to go back.
It just caved in.
They completely. I mean, you have to continue giving your message and marketing and promoting.
So we kept promoting.
We kept promoting. We kept our message alive. So we were fortunate that City and County trusted with dollars and the town of Oro Valley, and we kept that message alive. So when things started reopened, people were looking for these open spaces, these destinations that maybe were not in the radar before, and now they're right there. So we had a great recovery, and that helped us. And the second factor, Bill, is that I think finally we have people understand the value of our community. I think we were for many years undervalued. Mm-hmm. We were seen as a cheap destination, And we should not be. I mean, we should be at par with other destinations around the state and the country. We shouldn't be seen as a cheap place to go because there's, again, no quality. We have the quality, and we're starting to see. I mean, you were talking about Janos and what he's doing at his place and people willing to spend money because they see the value of it. And I think that's what we're seeing in Tucson right now, people understanding that if you come to Tucson, you're going to have a great experience and it's going to be worth your dollar.
For years, I did stories when I was over on my TV show about tourism in Tucson. It would always seem to be, back in those days, golf destination. It was thought of, you know, as a kind of an inexpensive place to come play some golf.
And golf, it's still a destination driver, but it's not our main. I mean, that's not our DNA 100%. Our DNA is those open spaces, the culture, the history, the beauty of the Sonoran Desert, the food and gastronomy. So until we went out and redeveloped our brand and said, well, yes, golf, it's interesting, but there's other cities around the U.S. that have that.
Palm Springs.
Oh, yeah. Gosh. Scottsdale, Palm Springs. I mean, it's Miami. I mean, everywhere you go, you're going to see that. So, okay, what's our DNA? What are we unique of? And again, is the region, is the ecosystem, is the, again, this place that we live that is unique in the world. So that's what we have to take advantage and promote. And let's stop trying to be everything for everyone.
All right, when we continue with Felipe Garcia, we'll be talking, take a deeper dive into how promotion, what is coming up for promotion for Visit Tucson. It is our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They are located right next to Copenhagen over at Fort Lowell and Dodge. I want to talk about my favorite restaurant for pastries. I was up there at Moe's. I was up at Mona's on Sunday, had a nice lunch up there. We talk so much about their breakfast. Wow, that the hot chicken sandwich on sourdough with the red peppers. And oh my goodness, that was so good, Felipe, yesterday up at Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They work so hard up there. They take a well-deserved Monday off. They open tomorrow morning at 6:30. They're open then for breakfast. You can do breakfast all day until they close. Sometimes they close at 2. It just depends. But the lunches, we don't talk enough about it. They do a great job. And also, Steve, the owner, wants me to mention, and gladly so, that Thanksgiving is 2 weeks from Thursday, so please put your orders in for your pies. Last year, they did a record number of pies, over 600 pies. I went in there the day before Thanksgiving. There were all these boxes piled to the ceiling, all these pie boxes. I mean, how do you do something like that many, many pies? But anyway, when you do your pie order, also, how about dinner rolls? They'll do those for you as well. Let's take a break right here. The Monday one-on-one continues. Felipe Garcia with me in studio. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan to the RTA board by December. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at Moe'sGallery.com.
Tom Sullivan here, inviting you to join the rest of us who spend every weeknight from 7 to 10 with the Tom Sullivan Show on 1030 KVOI The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio when we do our telephone interviews, or if you'd like to call us on the live line, 790-2040. That is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. My friend Mo and his family have just done such a beautiful job. It's all museum quality, the work that they do at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They didn't get off the bus yesterday. They've been around since 1985 here in town. Their website looks really good. I've actually got a few items of my own that are up there if somebody wants to take a look. As a map collector, an old map collector, I put a few items up at Moe'sGallery.com, and it is under the Bill Buckmaster Collection. So it might be fun for some listeners to take a look at that if you're into collecting old maps and things like I am. They're at Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen. The one-on-one today is Felipe Garcia. We always enjoy having Felipe. This man is like the Energizer Bunny. He is president and CEO of Visit Tucson. He has so much energy, and he is a full-blown attorney as well. He went to law school, but then he changed paths. Well, how did that happen? You came to a crossroads, and you went the route of tourism and kind of food and all that area. That really got you going, maybe more than the legal end of things.
It was one of those coincidences of life, Bill, that I was one day was working, doing economic tourism issues, not tourism, sorry, but legal issues. And then the city of Tucson invited me to join a program to look into trade with Mexico and supply chain. And they said, you have your legal background, it's going to help you with exports. So, and they told me, hey, there's this tourism initiative. I don't know what to do with it. Here's like $5,000, small budget, and let's see what happens. It was with Mexico. So I started tapping into it, and all of a sudden, like, hey, this is fascinating. I mean, as a lawyer, your life, it's about problems.
Yes.
You're either
problem solving.
Problem
right?
solving or problem avoiding. You're trying to get your client
yes.
not to get in trouble or get out of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go to this area of opportunities and mm-hmm. like, wow, this is fascinating. And I don't know if my legal brain, how it's wired, has helped me look at things differently in the tourism space and looking again into how do we get to different unique places using that creativity maybe. So that was a change of profession and career, and I don't regret it. I mean, I love it.
And the whole tourism, regional tourism vehicle changed names several times, and it was finally settled, and I want to say it's almost been 10 years
yes.
since this designation came, Visit Tucson, which I thought just really made sense. Before we had like office of this and that, mm-hmm. and that's not the way you brand an area.
We were called, and legally still, that the structure is the Metropolitan Tucson Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Is it still legally structured
legal,
that way?
Yeah, but we, now our DBA, Doing Business As, is Visit Tucson.
Yeah.
So if all of our branding is Visit Tucson. I mean, when I tell people I work for the Metropolitan Tucson, and then we had an acronym, MTCVB. Like, wow, we need a vowel in there somewhere. So we decided to change to something that simply explains. In marketing, as you know, if you have to explain what you do, your story, then you're in problem.
Yeah.
If people get it by the headline, we're Visit Tucson. Oh, I get what you do.
Mm-hmm. When travel writers from all over the world do an article about Tucson, what do you call that? That's like earned, it's basically free media.
Yeah, it's an earned media.
You put a number on that, it's millions of dollars.
It's millions of dollars. So there's a company that will help us. We put that information, and it's used by many tourism offices around the world. And what we do, Bill, is, as you mentioned, we're constantly pitching stories about Tucson and finding the local characters and personalities that can talk to that journalist. And I can tell you that, in average, we're hosting maybe once a week. We have someone from out of town here in Tucson. Uh-huh. And to every single individual, we have to tailor their agenda and move things around based on their interests, how they write, what kind of publication, their history. So it takes a lot of time and effort into putting all the program, pitching the idea, having come here to Tucson, and then sometimes it takes a few weeks, sometimes it could be a year, and we don't see nothing, and then it gets published somewhere, and we get very excited about it,
of course. People who have travel in their DNA, which I do and you do, they look at these articles, they look at the travel section of the New York Times or up in Canada, they look at the national papers, and they read about that, and they think, you know, maybe I've never been out to the Southwest. Tucson sounds very different from what I envision. Kind of, I've heard about Phoenix and Scottsdale, but Tucson looks like it has more of a kind of European flavor, more of a kind of an ethnic place, where Phoenix feels more like kind of LA without water.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we have that personality and character in Tucson, and that's something we tell. And we, that's a challenge, Bill, that you mentioned. Many times we will talk to a journalist or to a meeting planner, and we talk about Tucson, and sometimes their answer is, well, I was in Phoenix already, so I think I've seen Arizona.
You're Scottsdale. I spent a couple of nights at one of the resorts in Scottsdale, so why do I need to go to Tucson?
Exactly. Yeah. So we tell them all the time, hey, have you been to San Francisco? Well, yes. Have you been to San Diego? Yes. Yeah. Are they very similar? Like, no, they're very different. Yes. It's the same in Phoenix and
Tucson.
That's
a good way to put it, yeah.
So we have a program, actually, called You Fly, We Buy, that when we have a meeting planner, someone that has a conference that we know it fits here in Tucson, and we can have a good shot of bringing him to town, and we ask them, have you been to Tucson? If the answer is no, we tell them, hey, what if I pay your airfare, I pay your hotels, come and check us out.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's about 7 out of 10 that will sign a contract if they come to Tucson. They're like, wow, I had no idea of the beauty of this place, the mountain so close to you, the saguaros. This is something so unique and different. We had no idea. So we can market, promote. So it's all these omni-channels. We have to put advertising. We have to talk to journalists to tell stories about Tucson. We have to bring people here. And that's when you start creating this amazing experience and people being fascinated by what we have to offer.
Say you get a CEO from a company back east, and he or she are thinking, you know, maybe our company would like to either expand, or maybe we'd actually like to do a move. So he or she, the CEO or a top executive of the company, they come to Tucson for the first time. They have a really good experience here. That opens the door.
Absolutely, Bill. So there's recently in Destinations International, it's an organization that kind of certifies our office and many tourism offices. They came what we call community shared values. And community shared values is what everyone in the community agrees. And when they told me, come on, everyone in the community agreeing with something that's not possible, I said, yes, there's 3 community shared values in every community: work, live, play. Every community member in every city in the world, they want a good job.
Yeah.
And then they want to live in a place that is great, that has affordable housing, that they can be there and play. They want to have great amenities to have a great quality of life. So live, work, play, those are 3 elements and pillars that every single individual look for. So companies now more and more, they're looking into, okay, can I get talent in your community? Or if I'm moving my company from this city to Tucson, would people be willing to go there? Mm-hmm. Are people going to be excited, or are they going to say, no, I'm not taking the relocation, I'm leaving, because I don't want to leave in that place?
And they have to think about that, because if somebody says, I don't want to move, you're going to lose your maybe some top people.
Absolutely, and that's a big challenge. You lose that individuals that have been working with you for many years, maybe.
All right, so what's on the horizon? I've only got about 30 seconds. What's on your agenda for Visit Tucson?
So still continue to market heavily in key markets, wet and cold. If it's going to be cold and wet, it's a great destination for Tucson. We're working
supposed
a lot.
Supposed to be cold and wet. So
oh, yes.
You're going to do well.
Absolutely. And we're working a lot with the Tucson Airport Authority, making sure that we're collaborating and bringing new
flights.
Maybe
get a Mexico flight.
Oh, that's one of, believe me, that's one of our list. So, and we'll continue to see more advertising. And we launched a new campaign recently, Best Mexican Food in America. America's Best Mexican Food, Tucson, Arizona. So we're continuing with our food promotion. We're not giving up on that one. We have a lot to do still, marketing, promotion, advertising.
Okay, Felipe Garcia, always a lot on your agenda. We will let you get back to work. Thank you, Felipe.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Check them out over at Fort Lowell and Dodge. And the website is worth a look as well. They've revamped it, moesgallery.com. They're doing e-commerce there, and there is a connection to me and the show. So you might want to take a look at the website. All right, we'll pause right here. Our Border Report, it's a monthly feature with Keith Rosenblum talking about Mexico, is coming up right after this.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Ran into Jan and Jack up at Mona's yesterday. Jan and Jack, the owners of Green Things. And yes, they're ready with the poinsettias. They raise thousands of them. And they told me they've even got some new colors this year. So that ought to be interesting. Check it out. It's always nice to put a little holiday flowers for your Thanksgiving table. So check out Green Things, located 3384 East River Road. Their website's greenthingsaz.com, and their Zocalo Village. We're always talking about the Talavera pottery from Mexico. Jan and Jack were over on the Greek island of Crete. And they showed me some pictures where they were went to this pottery place, and they have these incredible pots from Crete now that they're selling at Zocalo Village. Their website, ZocaloVillage.com. All right, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's welcome back to the show for his monthly border report, longtime border observer and journalist, one-time aide to Congressman Jim Colby. Keith Rosenblum joins us now. Hey, Keith, how are you?
Bill, good afternoon, and a delight, as usual, to hear from you. And I'm just wondering if we can start the interview with this. You've called me a cretin on any number of occasions, and I'm curious. Is that someone who's from Crete? I just was curious because I'm listening to one of your commercial messages and wondering, what is someone from Crete called?
I don't know.
Is that what you were saying? Or I thought I had taken it in an offensive way, but it turns out you just mistook my origins.
I don't know what a person from the island of Crete is called. I do know that the folks over in Acapulco are really suffering. This is a really weird weather story. This hurricane went from a 1 or a 2 designation to a 5 in a 24-hour period. They had the strongest wind gust ever clocked anywhere in the world, 200, I think, and 30 miles per hour, something like that.
It was fascinating to watch it play out. And there's, first of all, for totally unrelated to Mexico, but related, I guess, to this incident or this hurricane, the New York Times podcast, The Daily, has a marvelous interview with the New York Times' own meteorologist. It starts off with Michael Bavaro, who hosts the podcast, saying to the person he's interviewing, he says to him, "You know what?" He says, "I didn't even know we had a meteorologist on staff." And the Times media says, "Well, yeah." He says, "They hired one because of the weather." He says, "This guy is a meteorologist." And he walks people through what happened in Acapulco. And the guy says, "I'm really embarrassed for my trade, and I'm really embarrassed that I missed it." And he talks all about how this was climate change that had made that occur so rapidly. And he walks you through these steps. But anyway, it's a really beautiful interview. You can go back and listen to the New York Times, The Daily. But what happens then in Acapulco, it catches everybody off guard. And I've been there, and the pictures of it are horrifying. Fact that it happens, and President Lopez Obrador tries to go to show he's a man of the people. He goes in a Jeep to get to Acapulco. Well, guess what happens?
What?
He gets stuck. He gets stuck, and he can't go. He didn't get there until the following day, when he flies finally in a military aircraft. But this is an example of how you can be just a little bit too much a man of the people when the president, he flies, he's gotten rid of a whole bunch of they call it Estado Mayor. That's like their Secret Service or the people that move the president. He's gotten rid of a lot of the staffing, and he knows he'll be protected by the people. The people is in every single sentence that the guy utters. And so in this case, he goes from Mexico City on the highway to Guerrero, and he gets stuck, like everybody else. He gets stuck, and they can't do it, so he goes back.
Why did he think, just because I'm the Mexican president, that I'm not going to get stuck in a Jeep?
I don't know. I think when you're told how great you are, and you can walk on water, maybe this was a corollary. Maybe he actually did believe he could at least, ride over mud in a military Jeep. But for a lot of people, the scenes there are iconic, and they've said that the scene of him wading through the mud in dress shoes on his way to Acapulco and not being able to get there is kind of a representative photo of what it is that's happening in Mexico today.
Many, many years ago, Ann and I visited Acapulco. What a beautiful Acapulco Bay and all that. Stayed at the Las Brisas. I don't even know if it's still around, but it was kind of the iconic resort there. I wonder if any of those places are still standing now.
They're still standing. I believe they all are. And, don't forget, it was Elvis Presley who made Acapulco, who was there.
Yep.
And a lot of the American cinema scene that
yes.
made Acapulco the place to go.
Yeah,
and
it was. European, it really was.
From going there myself, mostly for work, but I think I got away once or twice to take an extra day or two from a project. But the very cool thing about Acapulco is this, and this sticks with me to this day. You've heard me talk about Mexico as being a nation of castes, correct?
Mm-hmm.
That you have basically far different than in the U.S. We have blue bloods, and we have people who are kind of we have people in Appalachia who arguably have been entrenched in poverty. Mexico, very much like like India, has people. You're born into a certain caste. Maybe you go up one or two notches, but it's rare for you to marry somebody or to exist outside of the caste you were born into. It happens, but it's rare. There's very little mobility. The U.S. we have this dream, everybody can make it, everybody, but we certainly have more mobility when it comes to that. We'll forget about the cast for a moment. But what I loved about Acapulco, and to this day tell people, is Acapulco is genuinely a national destination.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have 5-star hotels and pay $300 or $400 or $500 a night, and you can stay on the beach, Bill, for $20 a night in a nice place. It's an amazing thing. Acapulco has been around for so long that the entrepreneurial class of Guerrero and of Acapulco in particular has seen that, and they know there's just as much money. And the people who go there from the lower classes, we're talking about the waiters and waitresses, or the people who work on assembly lines in Mexico City or elsewhere, take 3-day and 2-night packages to Mexico City. They get on a bus. We might get on a flight, and do the same thing, or we might do it from the U.S., but you're side by side in Acapulco with people who are on packages from every walk of life. It's beautiful. And that's one area where, Cancun is a different story. Cancun does not have that. Cancun is still a middle class and above destination and high class.
Mm-hmm.
You do not have nearly the. And then Huatulco in Oaxaca is also much more a privileged class. But Acapulco, my respect, it's just a marvelous place for anybody and on any budget.
And it did fall out of favor, though, with Americans, because a lot of the airlines stopped serving with nonstop flights into Acapulco because of the crime situation in that particular state of Mexico.
Yeah, I mean, Acapulco's been kind of an island. I've never, again, my travels, Americans, if you have white skin, or if you are if you're clearly a tourist, you're generally immune to any of the violence or kidnapping or extortion anyway, period. You have a kind of a bubble of immunity to you generally. But it's not really, Acapulco is really not the, if you listen or look at the statistics, the number of incidents that have happened in Acapulco, itself, urban Acapulco, is still negligible. It's nothing. Probably Cancun is just as bad.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, again, I've been part of the media group that you have to write about. You can't ignore things that happen. But when there's a Dateline story about Acapulco and gangs, getting in a fight and people being who are in a hotel or a particular place in the wrong time, you have to cover it. You have to write about it, and it does have an impact. But so does journalism. Acapulco has been interesting because Acapulco and also Cancun and Los Cabos have an interesting marketing concept, and that is that they a lot of times don't mention Mexico. In other words, Acapulco is where you want to go, and you don't even need to say it is in Mexico, obviously.
Yes.
And the state of Guerrero obviously stigmatizes the whole country of Mexico, and it does affect Acapulco as well. But if you look at the marketing for Cancun, if you look at the marketing for Cabo, if you look at the marketing for a lot of places, Mexico is low down there on the list because the Mexicans understand that you don't want to have the baggage of Mexico if you can have the glory of, you know, the beach at Islas Marias or even Puerto Peñasco. No one's, very few people say come to Puerto Peñasco, Mexico. It might get mentioned, but if you want to take somebody, you emphasize, you want to bring someone to your hotel or your restaurants or your beach, you go for what is attractive, not what might cause doubt.
Well, I'm telling you, it's one of Acapulco Bay is one of those iconic places in the world, right up there with, like, when you think about Hawaii, people still think about Waikiki. And when you think,
it is absolutely a must see.
Yeah, it is. It really is. I'll never forget.
I'm glad you brought it up because the damage is severe, and the president got blindsided. And just as New Orleans, you know, these things happen, and people initially pay lip service, not realizing how bad it is. They don't realize how bad they look, and this is one of the. I'm not going to say it's President Lopez Obrador's Waterloo. That's right now nobody knows. But it has cost him quite a bit of prestige, the inability to respond quickly, and even the reconstruction program, what he's done, which is typical Lopez Obrador, pardon me, is he said, okay, get this. The judiciary is sitting on all this money. They make so much money. Their salaries are exaggerated. They have all these perks. You know what? It's time we eliminate these trust funds for all these judges. Let's give the money instead to the victims of Acapulco. Now, how's that for political guile or political savvy or nastiness? It's such a cruel thing to do, but it was such a, the public loves it because, again, you have a guy who's a man of the people, and he'll look for, he is now, I think I can tell you now after having watched him long enough, he is Hugo Chavez reincarnate in Mexico.
He is Mr. Populous. All right, Keith, stick around to take a break right here. We'll talk more Mexico right after this.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is collected throughout Pima County and averages more than $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Thinking about a river cruise? Let Bon Voyage Travel guide you to choose the perfect cruise to complement your vacation dreams. River cruising has become more popular than ever, and we know you have so many options to consider when selecting the destination, cruise line, and ship. At Bon Voyage Travel, we provide a comprehensive presentation on the top tips for river cruises and have a team of specialists to assist you. Visit bvtravel.com and view our River Cruise 101 presentation today.
This is Kate Delaney. Join me tonight for a conversation about what's happening in the world that affects you. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. In the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, want to urge everyone to think about a road trip. Maybe there is a road trip in your future, and I hope there is. And if there is, I hope it's Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. This is perfect time of year to do some hiking, hanging out in historic Silver City. You can start your planning by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find all sorts of tempting offerings about things to do, places to stay, and some great places to dine as well. We continue now with our monthly conversation about Mexico with Keith Rosenblum. Migration trends seem to be very popular headlines. I'll read you just two of them from the front page of the Arizona Daily Star in just the last couple of days. Tucson border sector, again, busiest for migrant crossings. And then this one, Arizona sees largest drop in undocumented population in the United States. I don't know what to make of all of this, Keith. Maybe you can fill me in.
I will, and I'll solve that momentarily. But first, let me just let you know, I was checking my notes. March 16th in my own diary, Bill called me a cretin twice today. I sure wonder if he's alluding to people who are from Greece. Just letting you know. Okay. to your question. There is, Keith Rosenblum is not going to solve this. This is a, I feel, you have to feel sorry for all the border patrols or all the people whose job it is to do this, because we lack a cohesive policy. And I gave a ride to a guy about a month ago along Mexico 2. We were between Santa Ana and Caborca, and he was on crutches. And I said to him, dude, who are you? And he said, it turns out they'd been asked to leave they'd left the bus. The bus had left them behind in Santa Ana. And I didn't know whether this was a ploy or I was about to be jumped or whatever. And he says, my brother's over there. So I talked to the woman at the Pemex. I said, have these guys been, they've been here for 4 hours, sir. The bus left them behind. So I gave the guy a ride. And he was from Venezuela, and he had come through the Darien Pass, and he had been 42 days on the road. That's how long he had been on the road getting to northern Mexico so that he could cross. He was going to cross originally at Agua Prieta and Douglas. He was told that the cartels there are not allowing people to get off the bus there for that purpose. So he continues on to Santa Ana on Highway 2 coming down through Cananea. And then back up through Caborca, and that's where I gave him the ride to, was to Caborca. And these stories, everybody's story is just wrenching. If you're human, your heart just goes out to these people. Wherever you are politically, wherever you are on what our policies ought to be, every individual story is just wrenching. Can you imagine coming on crutches? This guy was disabled.
Oh, my goodness.
He actually came to use the CBP app to come into the United States. He's now in Aurora, Colorado. I've actually talked to him a couple of times just because I wanted to find out how life is going for him. You become attached to people after you realize their humanity. Does that mean that he shouldn't be deported tomorrow, Bill? I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know that any American knows. I know we're split on every other issue of the day, 51-49. What do you do from people from Venezuela where the economy is completely falling apart? This guy had lived in Chile for 5 years prior to deciding it was time to try to make the trek to the United States. And so these numbers, you know, they're sad numbers. All I can think of, that's Keith Rosenblum, is this, and it's to the demographics of the issues. I don't know what the solution is. What I do know is that the United States is an aging society. What I do know is that wages are going way up. What I do know is that everybody that I talk to says we need to have a firm immigration policy, except for, by the way, Keith, is there any way that you can help my buddy, my friend, my nanny, my whatever, and because they've seen the humanity behind these. I don't know what the solution is. How do we handle Venezuela differently from Mexico? How do we handle Mexico differently from Guatemala or El Salvador? So I don't know. A lot of Mexicans will tell you the best thing we could possibly do would be to come back with a Bracero program. It's become one more of the many issues that divide the United States against itself, and I really wish that I could speak to you more authoritatively. I can tell you about the people, but when it comes to the issue itself, we better do something, whether it's to allow more people in legally or whether it's to turn them back. I don't know. I've almost felt impotent on this issue because I understand all the concurrent arguments.
Let me ask you, this gentleman, you said he was using crutches. He went through the Darien Gap, Darien Gap is in Panama, and it's about, I want to say, 40, maybe 45 miles of some of the densest jungle in the world. And if you're coming up from South America and you're coming up by foot or whatever, you got to go through the Darien Gap.
I would love, just so that nobody would say Keith Rosenblum's outside of my household, that is a liar. I would welcome putting, blanking his first name, I would welcome allowing you to interview him. It was such a privilege to meet him. On crutches, he went through the Darien Pass. And the stories he have are just gripping. It was so powerful that I recorded him. And in fact, I wanted him to help him get to Sonoita, on the border with Lukeville. And so I dropped him and his brother at a bus terminal in Caborca so they could take the final leg because I was going to Puerto Libertad that weekend. And I talked to him later and said, tell me what happened. He said, well, we were basically picked up, kidnapped, threatened in Caborca, and after being told that the Mexican bus lines will no longer sell them tickets unless they show their nationality. How's that?
Wow.
In other words, for a long time, Mexico doesn't ask you for immigration documents. You're free to travel within the country. And the Mexican government now to implement its own controls has said, sorry, you can no longer, we're not going to sell you a bus ticket. And it may be true for plane as well. I don't know. Unless you can demonstrate you're Mexican or you're in the country legally. And of course, these Venezuelans. And I was at the bus station in Hermosillo 3 weeks ago. And I'd never seen black people in Hermosillo. In my lifetime, I hadn't seen them. And I'm surrounded by 6'2" or 6'3" Senegalese, I think. I asked a couple of questions. I have pictures of them. It's stunning. Here, and there were 50 or 60 or 70 of them coming up, all being, I don't know if they were being smuggled. I don't know if they were coming up, how they were doing it, but these were coming to the back door to the U.S. Do we have an immigration issue on our hands? Yes, we do. What's the solution? If we bring people in, do we want to allow it to be citizenship path? Probably not, because you'll never get Republican agreement who already believe that we're bringing in immigrants in order to backdoor pad Democratic role. So if you're going to bring people up, you sure better not do it to provide citizenship. Do it as a guest worker program. Maybe that's the solution. But I would welcome you one day talking to.
Yeah, it'd be fascinating. Yeah,
you would have your audience would be gripped.
Yeah.
By it.
Hey, by the way, the proper term for people from the island of Crete is Cretans. You're right.
then I guess I don't know whether you were defaming me or you were just identifying my origins. The Rosenblums did stop for a period of time in Greece.
All right, Keith. Always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
All right, Keith Rosenblum for our monthly border report. That's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show as we kick off the first Monday of November, Monday, November the 6th already. All right, we're going to say goodbye back in about 23 hours. Thanks to John, always doing a great job for me on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing the show. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Hope everybody has a good afternoon.